to our right. Here's a shot right to the goal. He scored. Sandelin put the top shelf on the rebound. Blake made a great save.
His engine's over the blue line. Furry, circle left to drive, and it hits the post. But the rebound doesn't. It bounces out, and Sandelin gets it, and he'll drive it into the back of the net.
How about that?
From BLC Studios in Mankato, Minnesota, this is the Maverick Hockey Live Podcast, presented by Duncan, with your host, Shane Frederick.
Welcome to another episode of the Maverick Hockey Live Podcast, presented by Duncan. I'm Shane Frederick, I'm the host, and joining me this week is Minnesota State senior forward Ryan Sandelin. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Great having you here. Nice to see you again. Interesting times with the Minnesota State men's hockey team right now. Just kind of going through, as Coach Hastings always says, there's peaks and valleys all the time, and a little bit of a valley right now, coming off a couple losses at home to Ferris State, probably something that not a lot of people expected. But as a person who's covered sports for a lot of years and covered some Maverick teams that weren't very good several years ago, who would maybe go into another team's rink and upset them and win two games. That's what Ferris State did to you guys. How's the mood of the team right now? What are things like in practice?
Guys are, you know, excited to get back to work. You know, that's kind of the motto for us right now. Just get back to our basement, get back to our dailies. Leadership groups taking a big step, just kind of getting control of what we need to be doing on a daily basis. And, you know, I like to consider myself a part of that. So, mm-hmm. You know, just setting the standard of what this culture is at this program and, you know, what's acceptable every day and not taking our foot off the gas here with four games left.
You know, with different players who have come in this season and talked on the podcast, we've talked a lot about the culture that's been built up at Minnesota State, culture that you've known as a senior and also as a someone who, you know, committed here early enough to follow what was going on and probably knew some of that before you even committed. Having said that, and when you go through these little rough patches, it's something that you haven't really experienced here as a player over your first three years here. What is kind of the key of trying to break out of it, or how are you guys trying to manage that? Because it is different for a team that really hasn't lost a lot of games over the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's definitely a growth spurt for everybody. Not only just the young guys, but the older guys mm-hmm. included, because we haven't been through something like this to this point, like you said. So I think for us, just it's important to go back to what makes us the Mavericks, what makes us Maverick hockey. And, you know, that's work ethic, that's attitude, that's bringing everything you can to the table every single day to make yourself and your teammates better. And, you know, I think that's something that was, emphasized by the leadership group. And in one of the meetings we had, is just we got to push the guys and push everybody to be better every single day. And, you know, I think at times that's slipped to this point. And, you know, that's on us for not showing the younger guys how to do that. And we'll take responsibility and own that. But now it's our time to, you know, really hammer that home and make sure they understand what the culture is here and what's acceptable and what isn't.
It's got to be interesting. I mean, for you guys to all kind of figure that out together, just like you said, from seniors all the way down to the first year players, just kind of going through it at the same time. But at the same time, more falls on your shoulders as a leader, like you just said, to try to, you know, be the ones who help get you out of that hole.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, that it's on us first. We're the ones that have been through it. You can't buy experience. I think I said that last week in one of the media sessions. You can't buy experience, and there's a lot of guys in our room that have it. So, mm-hmm. you know, for those guys that haven't been through it, you know, we're the ones that have, and we gotta be the guiding light for them every single day to, you know, again, show what's acceptable and show what's not acceptable, so we can kind of break out of this together. And it's not going to be one guy. It's not going to be one day that does it. You know, we got to come and do it every single day. And, you know, I think today was a great start in practice, and we just got to keep stringing days together before we go to break.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, watching those games against Ferris State, the effort seemed to be there. The work ethic seemed to be there. And maybe you can see areas certainly where you could have gotten better. You're a guy who's scored a lot of goals in your career, 35 goals in 106 games. You have 6 goals this season. You had 21 last year, which was 7th in the nation and led the team. But it seemed like that was the difficult part of both nights is finding ways to finish. You did have a goal on Saturday, and you know, Ferris State's goaltenders played very well. They blocked 47 shots on the weekend, which is a huge amount. But you guys know what that's like because you guys tend to block a lot of shots as well. But for a goal scorer, what is that like when you are having trouble on good chances? You had great chances to tie that game at the end of Saturday night as well, yourself. I mean, what is there frustration? How do you try to come out of it? How do you go from you know, getting those goals in bunches compared to you know, when it's not going in?
Yeah, I think, you know, it can go two ways. You can either be frustrated and let it bring you down, or you can let that fuel, you know, the next chance. And, you know, that's kind of my mentality. You know, there should be frustration in the fact that you're not finishing the chances, but there's also a frustration if you're not getting them. And that's kind of the theme for this group. We're getting them. Mm-hmm. It's just working on, you know, finishing, getting that puck over the line to the back of the net.
Right.
And, you know, I think this week for practice, I think that's a huge emphasis from the coaching staff is we're going to finish pucks out and we're going to learn how to put the puck in the back of the net. And, you know, that's just a daily thing, you know, whether you're working on small skills after or before practice, whether that's, you know, in drills where you're doing line rushes or power play or whatever it is, finish pucks out like you would in a game. And, you know, I think, again, that's the emphasis of the coaching staff this week. So, you know, they're on us for being aggressive, and we need to continue to be aggressive at the net, because if we stop, then, you know, you're not getting those chances mm-hmm. anymore. So I think just everybody continuing to be aggressive as a collective group of five and, you know, getting pucks to the net. Pucks are going to go in if you keep getting them to the net. So I think that's really important for our group this weekend too.
I think one of the words that Coach Hastings said on Saturday night was poise, and trying to find ways to, you know, make plays probably around the net as well. And maybe you're referring to some of that a little bit, especially kind of that small area stuff, because, you know, at some point when you can get those chances, but it's like a lot of guys just kind of, you know, becomes a shooting gallery. Everybody's shooting, or everybody's just trying to do anything. And instead of trying to have a little bit of poise and trying to make plays, is there a fine line between, you know, getting those chances or it, making sure that those chances are, can really count?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a fine line, you know, you don't want to just absolutely funnel everything to the net, but you know, at the same time, there's got to be a sense of urgency. You know, pucks do have to get to the net, and pucks have to get there, and guys have to get there. That's the other thing. You know, it's one thing to shoot the puck there, but if you have no one there to clean up the rebound, then it's going to be pretty easy for the goalies all night long. And, you know, we need to get traffic in front of the net. And I feel like we did a good job of that this weekend. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there needs to be that extra second, third, fourth effort to get those rebounds, box guys out, you know, come down on pucks at the right time. I think I came down on a couple pucks just split second too early or late, and you know, right now that's the difference for us for getting pucks in the back of the net. So, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, like you said, having a shooting gallery, but also having poise. And I think, you know, that's just something that comes naturally in practice and something we need to work on every day.
As a guy who's known as a goal scorer, do you feel like you've had, you even if the team's playing well, do you have those ups and downs in your, you know, throughout your career where you have little streaks where it's not going in and streaks where it seems like everything you're touching is going in?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the start of the year, I had two in the Minnesota game at mm-hmm. home, and then, you know, I go probably six or seven games without it, and it could have been easy for me to get frustrated. And, you know, there's obviously some frustration there. I want to see the puck go in the net individually. I think, you know, that's, you know, I was a goal scorer for the team last year. I want to continue to do that and continue to grow in that area for the team this year, especially goals are harder to come by. But, you know, like I said, it'd be more frustrating if I wasn't getting those mm-hmm. chances. And, you know, that's the other piece of it. Guys got to stay level-headed. You know, if you're getting the chances, it's always about the next one. You know, if you hang your head too long on the last one, it's just going to bleed over into the next one. So, you know, you can't change what happened, but, you know, you can go out and change what happens on your next shift, on your next chance, and that's kind of the importance for our group right now.
You guys go to Bowling Green this week, and it seems like you just played them. It was a little over a month ago, I guess, and November seemed to go really fast, at least for me. It probably has for you guys, too, to some degree. But you took two games from them at home, took 5 of 6 points, and but, you know, they're probably looking at you guys a little differently than they might have been then. And so what's the mentality going to Bowling Green, you know, from a standpoint of playing them so quickly? You know, a lot of times when you play a team twice in a season, it's, you know, once in each half of the season, and you're getting them both in the first half, and it's a tough place to go play and a tough team to even play at home, even though you guys have had some pretty good success against them certainly over your time here.
Yeah. Like you said, really tough place to play. They're going to play hard. You know, I think you look at the last time we played them, we just came off getting swept at St. Cloud, right, too. So, you know, it's kind of a similar situation for us. You know, we're coming off of, you know, a spot that's not particularly familiar for everybody. But, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. It might be a wake-up call for us to go in there and, you know, get out of town, go on the road, come together as a group, you know, and just, you know, go into a tough environment and pull out some points here. I think that's the biggest thing for us right now. We got to start stringing points together. We let two get away at home, which, you know, isn't like us, but we can't do anything about it now. It's what we can do and what we can control going into this weekend at Bowling Green. And, you know, it's a lot of effort and attitude for us right now at this point. And, you know, like you said, the compete level was there last weekend. You know, we're going to need that moving forward over these next four games, because it's not getting any easier going to Bowling Green and having Bemidji come to town.
Right. And nobody wants a streak to end, but is there any thought? I mean, nobody really thinks of streaks too much, and maybe until they come to an end, but Minnesota State had put together quite a run of not getting swept at home in conference play, and you had to go back two conferences ago, essentially, to the old WCHA and Mike Hastings' first season in Mankato, and when Wisconsin came here and won two overtime games in January of 2013. And you guys as a program haven't been swept by a conference opponent at home since then. And I'm just wondering if it's probably frustrating because you don't want to lose two games at home to Ferris State, but can you put that in perspective at all to kind of think about that, you know, this program went almost 10 years without getting, you know, without losing or without, you know, going pointless at home on a conference weekend.
Yeah, I think that speaks a lot to the volume of the fans and the people that are in this community. You know, they make this place such a tough place to play, and, you know, it's truly an honor to go out and suit up in front of them at home. And unfortunately, you know, we let them down last weekend, but, you know, again, it's in the past, and, you know, it's a 10-year streak, but it took 2 days to end it.
Right.
So I think there's two ways to look at it. We can look at it and, you know, kind of have our tail between our legs, or we can learn from it and, you know, kind of use this as a springboard for the rest of this first half and then moving into the second half to make sure it doesn't happen again. So,
yeah, I want to say, like, this is, you know, something that you probably don't want to take away from it. But, you know, as an outsider looking in, I'll just say that I think that to look at that streak, to have that, it was going to take a couple losses like that to put a spotlight on what the program had done over that time, and to see what was how impressive that streak was. Because I would not have guessed it was the Wisconsin weekend. But I wasn't sure what it was going to be if I really stopped to think about it. So, and I do remember that Wisconsin weekend well, as a lot of people put on social media. I'll just throw out there that was a weekend when Stephon Williams, the goalie, took a 5-minute major, ended up in the penalty box, which goalies have to do. There was a reviewed goal that the system didn't quite have correct in terms of the camera angles, so Minnesota State should have scored a late goal that ended up being waved off, and I think each night ended with a overtime goal by John Ramage of the Badgers, pretty much from the exact same spot each night in the final minute of overtime. It was just a weird series, so I remember that well. Mike Hastings said the other night he remembers it well. And then he said he'd remember this Ferris State weekend as well. You know, the season started off so well for you guys. You know, you split with Minnesota, and you see what they're doing right now and how good they've been playing. You get Minnesota Duluth here. You sweep them. And obviously, as everyone knows, your dad, Scott, coaches Minnesota Duluth. You know, probably, you know, the last time that you're going to face his team, and he kind of took away a little pride there, you know, never losing to the Bulldogs. a little bit of pride there for you, or a little bit of a bragging rights type thing with the family?
Yeah, a little bit of bragging rights. you know, I think he's hoping for maybe one more in the tournament.
Sure.
Where it matters.
Yep.
And, you know, not to put it past him, but if he was going to win one game, I know for sure it would probably be one of those in the tournament. So I'm not holding my breath just yet, but I guess we'll see what happens coming down the stretch here. But yeah, pretty good bragging rights at home. 6-0 We'll take it.
And you also, of course, had the whole family, I think, in the stands that weekend, dressed in purple, and your mom and your sister, and so shouldn't feel sorry for your dad, but I felt a little, you know, as a dad, I just felt a little sorry for him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of sympathizers out there.
Just because the family was all dressed for you, but you know, I don't blame them. I just thought that was a great moment. But you know, just now that you've played, I mean, if you were to play one more, that would be certainly significant. But you know, kind of looking back in your career here, 6 games playing against them. Obviously, a couple got wiped out because of COVID. You would have had 2 more games, but. Was that pretty special? Were those pretty special moments? You know, you had nice handshakes on the ice and hugs with your dad. What was that like, you know, during the games to have played against his teams?
I think over the years it kind of got significantly different because I knew more of the players when I first got here to now.
Sure.
You know, I think now I don't know as many guys. I don't train with as many guys up there. So I think those ones at the start were a little more impactful because I was playing more against some of my buddies that I grew up playing with or against. So that whole aspect was really awesome. You know, you never know when you're going to be able to go out against your high school teammates and play against them and, you know, be able to share the ice with them one more time. And you never know when paths are going to cross again. So I think just being able to do that was really special. And then obviously having him on the bench on the other side, he's about as dialed in as they come. It's just it's funny because, you know, the stuff goes on in the rink and I know exactly how he's reacting, but it's hard to not look over and because you know exactly what it is. So I think I caught myself this last series looking over and he was heated in a couple of moments. I knew it was coming. So there are a couple iffy calls or whatever it was. And I was like, I know he's just not happy over there. So it's pretty cool to just look over and see him over there. I know it's definitely a different situation. And, you know, I try to just look at it as, you know, another set of games. But, you know, obviously there's a little more attached to it and I have more family in the building. And that's obviously really exciting too. So it was fun.
Was there ever any in-game interaction between you and your dad?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
I might have scored the empty netter up there and gave a little extra shout, which I don't think he liked. But to be fair, he was probably in the right. It was an empty netter, so it wasn't anything great. But he wasn't too thrilled with that. But
He probably wouldn't have been thrilled no matter who you were playing, right? In that situation, probably had less to do with it being against his team, and just probably didn't like you doing that in general.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, it's certainly a good run, and you know, obviously in college hockey, there's always those little storylines and things like that that people pay attention to, and you know, some pretty cool moments there for your family, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's just the most important thing, to be able to have family from his side, from my side, all be there and just be able to witness it is, you know, something I'll be able to tell my kids about, my grandkids about, and they probably won't believe it, but it'll be pretty cool to just reflect on that. I think, you know, 10, 20 years down the road and be able to chat with them about that and just how awesome that was for our family.
So switching gears a little bit, something I'm sure your folks are proud of is the fact that, you know, you've already graduated from Minnesota State University, Mankato. And you know, this is finals week, the week that we're recording this podcast. But you know, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing for a college athlete. I know we talked before we started recording, you know, that you built up some college credits, as a high school, student, and, that helped some things, but you know, can you just talk a little bit about kind of your academics career? What did you graduate with? What was your degree in, or what is your degree in?
I got an undergrad in sports management and a minor in marketing. So really loved that. I wanted to always be in sports in some way, shape, or form, potentially get into coaching like my dad. That's always something that's really been a big interest of mine. So that kind of fell right in line with what I wanted to do.
So are you taking graduate classes now and in the sports management program or?
Yep. Through MSU. So yep. That's great. I don't have to be on campus or anything. It's all online. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of that right now. But yeah, it worked out really well.
You know, when I know there were players on your team, and I don't know how close you came to thinking about, you know, turning professional or taking advantage of potential professional opportunities. But you know, I'm sure as you get a college degree and you kind of have that or close to it at the end of your junior year, that can be tempting. Did that come up, and you know, how much did your school play a factor into that decision, and what made your decision stronger to you know, play a senior season?
Yeah, I think it played a small factor. I think, you know, knowing I was going to be done in July was, you know, a comforting thing. If I were to leave, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to come back and finish, which was nice. But there was also, you know, the advantage of being able to do a year of grad school, which also really enticed me. And, you know, I think a lot of what I ended up ultimately deciding was just the guys, you know, the culture here. We got so close last year, and, you know, I wanted to be a part of it one more time. And I don't think I was ready to leave Mankato yet.
Sure.
As much as I love it here, like it's just a second home to me. And, you know, it was really hard to kind of turn down one more run at it with these guys. Cause you know, a lot of these guys I've been around for a long time. So, yeah, I think mostly it was hockey, but you know, if I were to pick up and go, I did have, you know, the degree in my back pocket as an extra advantage. So that was nice too.
Well, I think too, like I have a son who's a senior in college, and I think about the COVID experience for students in college. And, you know, once the lockdowns came and there was, you know, having to take classes online or, you know, isolating or, you know, just not really getting the college experience in, you know, whether it's in the community or as a student athlete, you know, playing a season or basically a shortened season in front of little to no fans. And I know teammates of yours who were a part of, you know, who transferred here, who had were programs where they didn't play at all. Is that a factor at all to try to kind of gain kind of a little bit back that you lost in terms of kind of that student athlete or that college student experience?
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about it that way, but you know, that was a big piece. You know, we lost out on NCAAs my freshman year, and mm-hmm. then, you know, like you said, the shortened season, nobody really knew how that was going to go. So I think missing out on that was, you know, a big bummer. But I'd like to think we made the most of it, you know, the second year, and sure. Obviously making it to Pittsburgh and being in the Frozen Four. I think we made the most of that as bad as it was, you know, not being able to really go and see family or have family come down to the games or anything like that, or have fans, because that's such a positive impact for our team.
Right.
And like we talked about the home streak that we had, like we love playing at home, and you know, as unfortunate as last weekend was, like that's such a driving factor for us. We love being at home, and to not have that experience is obviously a huge bummer. But yeah, I guess when you put it in those terms, I guess you did miss out on a little bit. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I just, you know, I kind of feel for all college students in that respect who went through that, who kind of had those years. And I know every year is different for everybody, whether you're a hockey player or not, but you know, just I can understand why, you know, it's, you maybe want to hold on to it for one more year and kind of get that experience that you expected, that what wouldn't have been there otherwise. So, you know, when you look at this team right now, and you know, kind of getting back to the this team on the ice a little bit, and you know, what do you like about this team? I mean, it is different. I mean, you know, not just in terms of wins and losses, but the makeup of it is different. And so, when you talk about coming back and wanting to be with the guys or wanting to see if you can get back to where you guys got last year, you know, to the national championship game. What do you like about this team? Because it is a little bit different makeup. I mean, do you feel like it's got a different feel to it or a different kind of vibe?
I wouldn't say necessarily a different feel, but there's more competition, which, mm-hmm. You know, we're obviously a little shorthanded right now. Guys are banged up, so that, you know, that intensifies everything. Guys are fighting and jockeying for position up and down the lineup, whether that's special teams or, you know, just the line charts in general. So I think, you know, that creates an extra layer to everything. But, yeah, like, I love this group. You know, we're trending in the right direction as much as last weekend's result doesn't necessarily show that. We're coming around, and we're really starting to find our identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it might take a little longer than years past just because there's so much turnover. But I think, you know, we have the right pieces in place to do that. And now it's just about guys going out and, like we talked about, doing your dailies right, giving 110%, because then we're going to start seeing – you know, some positive impact on the ice. But yeah, the group's great. We get along great. I have nothing but good things to say mm-hmm. about the guys in the room. They're giving everything they have, and you know, we're gonna figure this thing out here pretty quickly. And you know, it's gonna be exciting once we do, because I know we got a good group of guys in this room that can take this thing a long way.
I think it's easy to forget, right? Like, just the holes. I mean, people point at goaltending and you know, losing Dryden McKay. I think everyone kind of points at that, and that's the obvious one. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget, you know, how much turnover there was on the decor and how much turnover and there was up front. Not that there was a ton of people, but when you take out four, you know, pretty significant players or three or four significant players and plug in and then also shift things around a little bit, it's you know, it's just a different you know, it's just different to get used to, I would think, just to try to make sure, you know, who's kind of taking charge on the power play or who's, you know, fitting in here. And do you try someone on a fourth line as a freshman, or do you move them up to the first line? And, you know, there's been a lot of shuffling, and I'm sure wins and losses have something to do with that. But some of it is just trying to make the chemistry work, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, we're still working to find that right combination for us. And, you know, obviously the injuries we've had up and down the lineup yep. have hurt trying to find that combination. But I know we still have guys in that room where we're going to find the right combination that's going to go out and, you know, everybody's going to work cohesively as a five-man unit. And I think, you know, like you said, like a lot of turnover on the decor, you know, just those spots up front. Like guys are going to get their feet wet. They're still getting their feet wet. Even the older guys are learning, you know, yep. we're in different roles,
right.
we're taking different roles and trying to be leaders for these guys. So, you know, it's a lot of growth up and down the board for us, whether it's up front, decor, and net. And, you know, sometimes growth is painful, but, you know, when you see the fruits of the labor kind of come out, I think that's when we're going to start seeing some success, and we're going to get there. It's just, it might be a little slower than it has been in the years past, and you just got to be patient with it, and you can't try and force, you know, a square peg into a round hole, so to speak. So I think, you know, we just got to be a little more patient, but there's got to be some urgency too. We can't,
right.
we can't keep letting weekends slip by here and losing points, especially in our league. So, you know, we're working towards that every day. And like I said, I think we're on the right path.
Is it hard to, you know, you mentioned points and, you know, the standings and the CCHA are pretty tight. So, I mean, there's a lot of room to move in that. And, you're not really, nobody's out of the picture. It's still the first half. Some teams haven't played a lot of games yet. But at the same time, you look at the national rankings, the pairwise, which are really important. You're 27th, I think, or were after Saturday's game. You're 16th in the opinion polls, but the opinion polls don't matter. But is it hard to, you can't get that back all at once. You just have to try to put that out of sight, out of mind, and concentrate on, you know, making your game right. Or do you tend to look at that and worry at all?
I think what you said is spot on. You can't get it back in one day. You can't win the McNaughton overnight. Can't win the Mason Cup overnight. It's gotta be in your daily habits and, you know, what you're bringing to the table every single day. You can't go back and get those points that we lost last week, and we can only look at the three that are in front of us on Friday night. And we can't even get to there if we don't put in a good week's of preparation for that too. So I think, like you said, you got to look at it as a daily thing. And if we keep putting days together that are positive and everybody's growing together and individually, then that's when we're going to start seeing some success on the weekends. And, you know, like I said, today was a great start for us, but it doesn't stop today. It's got to be tomorrow. It's got to be Thursday, and then trend into the weekend, and then come around after the weekend's done and do it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday leading into Bemidji.
Well, Ryan, best of luck against the Falcons in Bowling Green. It's always a tough place to play and a tough trip. I'm sure a lot of us will be watching online and see if you can get this thing turned around.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the plan. So,
all right. Well, best of luck. Thanks for joining the podcast today. And that's Ryan Sandlin, and I'm Shane Frederick, and we'll talk to you next time.